EXO Takeover.
Back, EXO Takeover Season 3. Have you missed us? It has been a while. I'm so glad to be bringing this back for its third season. And we are kicking off this season straight into it. We've got an incredible lineup. And today we have got the one, the only, Collective. Welcome to the show. How are you feeling?
Good. How are you, man?
I'm good. Season 3, kicking off with strong, credible guest yourself. Would you like to introduce yourself to the people watching and listening?
My name is Arshad T. I'm from NYC, and I started my company Collective, which is music-based collectibles, clothing, merchandise. A lot of it's inspired by EXO and The Weeknd, and that's about it. I'd love to get this started.
What caused you to start making the figurines? How did that come about?
So the figures actually, I'm going to go from the beginning actually, because it didn't always start with figures. I've been always a fan of music growing up, and I listened to a lot of music. So I used to make decals for my car, my friend's cars as well. And I'd put an EXO sticker. I had it cut out using a vinyl cutter. And one of my friends was like, you should start selling these. They look dope. I was like, cool. So I started doing that. But then I was like, I want to do something more of my own. And I got into design. I've always drawn from a young age. So I started designing. I drew a design for an Oxy plushie. And I wanted, because I really wanted an Oxy plushie. So I wanted to make my own. And my page started growing, getting more traction. I was like, let me make it for everybody. And then from there, I was actually going to do plushies instead of figures for The Weeknd and all these other artists. That was actually my original plan. But I was like, I would have figures, like Funko Pop, like I have on my desk, like something like this. Because I love collecting. I'm a huge nerd. So I collect a lot of action figures, anime figures, and all this comic book stuff. And I was like, why don't I do it with musicians? So I then made my first figure, the After Hours figure, based on my own art style, had these made. Then I got into Travis Scott. My last major one was Starboy, which is really cool. So then this became my main thing. And I do keychains as well. And that's what I feel like is my main thing. I've moved into this new space of just creating music-based collectibles.
I know that you did a timeless figurine pack, and Abel himself has got it. How did it come around that Abel managed to get himself?
I love this story. I was at Complex Con in Las Vegas. I don't know if you're aware of Complex Con. It's that huge thing Complex does every year. And I went to a booth where Mike Dean was. He was doing a meet and greet. He was selling merch. And I was like, I need to get these in Mike Dean's hands, because he helped produce Timeless with Pharrell. And also, I like Dean so much. I literally told him when I met him, you're the reason I love music, because you're behind some of my favorite albums, from my childhood growing up. He worked with on Graduation to newer stuff. He worked on every single Travis album. Now he worked recently on Hurry Up Tomorrow, which is a beautiful album. So seeing Mike would have been a great honor. And I was really nervous because I've never met someone super famous. So I went up to him. I was like, hey, Mike Dean, I love what you do. You've inspired me, my work. And I wanted to give you these figures because I know you produce Timeless and I feel like you appreciate them. And it was funny because Mike was like, oh, these are for me? Because I was like, I initially just wanted him to sign them because I wasn't sure if he wanted to have them. He's like, yeah, I was like, yeah, you can keep them. He's like, oh, really? These are so cool. And he started showing everyone in his team. I was like, wow, this is crazy. And then he told me, I have to show these to Abel. I was like, no way, bro. I was like, no way. This is bad. I can't. And then a couple weeks go by, I see Abel's story. I'm literally on a run. I'm just going through Instagram. And I swipe to Abel's story. I had to do a double take. I swipe back. I was like, no way. That's crazy. And then my DMs were flooding, Twitter, Reddit, all these threads were just coming up. Where do you get these? I got my TikTok. I was just getting messages. It was also during the holiday season. That was just insane, cosign / shout out I ever got. My first one, and it was from The Weeknd himself. It was just, I was starstruck.
It is mental.
Yeah, it's like everything I worked for like led to this moment. Like it was like literally a year, like less than a year and a half of me doing this, and that happened. I was like, wow.
That is insane. I love that story about it's just it's
Yeah, no, it was cool.
one
It's
for the
cool.
books.
The figures actually wouldn't have happened if I didn't post that anime. I don't know if you saw my page. I had an animation for Timeless
Yeah.
that got like 2 million views, which was crazy. But I made that video with the intention of Abel seeing it. Me and my animator, shout out to Demi's God, she's amazing. She does all my animation work. Gave her this idea because I saw that Abel was planning to release Timeless, and he was like teasing it. And that's like the song wasn't even out yet. This was like 2 days before the song dropped. I was like, Demi, we need to make a video for this. Let's be the first ones to make an animation for this song. And I feel like Abel would see it and repost it or do something, interact with it. And like I convinced her, and like I literally pulled an all-nighter. I gave her all the design work. She was doing the animations. I was giving all my graphic design files. And then we get this animation done the day the song releases. And the whole day, I was kind of sad because the video wasn't getting a lot of traction. I was like, it's like had like 11K views or whatever. I was like, ah, this was a dud. And then I'm at my friend's house later. Like, I had to print some stuff because my printer stopped working. I see my phone just blowing up. I'm like, what is going on right now? Like, why is my phone just going buzzing and buzzing and buzzing? And then I see, like, no way, bro. Like, a bunch of pages, like, you made it. I was like, I already knew, but I wasn't sure if it was real. I see Abel posted my animation on story. And later, Cash reposted it. I was like, holy smokes. Like, and then that video just shot up to 2 million views within overnight. And then the figures, I wasn't planning to make the figures. I was like, we need to do figures now. So I hit up my boy, Studio Boolean, Zach from Australia, and we cooked up like two designs, which were these figures. Had them up for pre-order, had them shipped out 2 months later to all the fans. They sold out once Abel posted it again later, and I was like,
So I guess the real question is, what is next? What can we expect to see next?
ooh, what's next? This is August, right? And a very big album is about to hit 10 years old, which is Beauty Behind the Madness. And I feel like to make it special for the 10-year anniversary, I'm dropping a Beauty Behind the Madness figure. This is actually a rough concept for it. I'm gonna have it, the hair is gonna be redone, everything. This is just, I actually posted a proper render of the final version on my page. And I'm also dropping this hoodie, which it's not a print. This is actually embroidered. It's all stitched.
No way.
And like, it's not even a print. This is all string, like all sewn to draw. I drew it digitally, had it done. This is what I'm wearing the sample right now. I'm doing a shoot in a couple weeks. On the 10-year anniversary, I'm going to drop the figure and these hoodies for pre-order. So that's the next big thing I'm doing.
I will definitely be there waiting to cop.
I'll send you a figure, dude. I'll
Yes.
send a hoodie, of course, bro.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who knows, maybe we could do like a takeover promo code as well.
Oh yeah, that'd be sick, man. Yeah, that'd be dope. We'll talk
But
about it.
yeah, we'll cook something up. Because I think the 10-year drops around the time this episode drops, I believe.
Isn't the 10-year at the end of the month, right?
Believe
28th
so.
of August, I believe. Yeah, it's crazy. 10 years that this
It's
album, it does
what are
not feel
your
like 10 years.
We'll go straight into it with Beauty Behind the Madness. What are your first thoughts of that album? Early thoughts?
So, I'm gonna be honest, I'm a late EXO. I became an EXO in like when Starboy came out. But I knew of The Weeknd way before, probably like a couple years before that. But I remember seeing Abel like hearing his music on the radio, like obviously The Hills and like Can't Feel My Face. And I never put two and two together that they were the same artist because they're such different songs. And then I saw the music videos, like this is the same guy. But I never like got like I was always listening to like I didn't have like a phone back then, so I wasn't really listening to a lot of music. I listened to music, but not I wasn't deep in that genre of like R&B and hip hop a lot. But I saw the music video, I was like, holy crap, this guy's on fire. He's like dancing like Michael Jackson. I was like, I love Michael Jackson growing up. I was like, this was good music. And I actually came back to Beauty once I became an EXO, like after Starboy. I literally went back his whole catalog backwards because I wanted to listen to more and more. His music just got addicting. It's like, I needed more. I needed that fix. Oh, Beauty? It's iconic. That era is just like, I think of 2015. I'm like, that time when music was coming out was insane. Like, all that aesthetic. I don't know how to explain it. It was just a moment of time.
The whole vibe the album brings.
Aura, man. He had aura. He still has aura, but that was just like, first blew up like crazy.
Which song would you say is the most standout from the album?
Oh, my favorite is probably Tell Your Friends. I love Tell Your Friends. That song just hits. The sample work. Like, Dean worked on that along with Kanye, I believe. It's just, I love when he raps or like he tells a story on this. He was talking about his whole come up.
Yeah.
Such a sick, sick song. Love that song so much. Tell Your Friends is one of them. In the Night, too.
That music video is one of my favorites, I think.
One thing Abel's good at, yeah.
That song is definitely like the definition of like haunted stripper music. And then by the end of the album, it's just very heartbreaking, if that's the best way to put it. You know, Angel, As You Are, Prisoner, we're all very like. But if we go from Beauty Behind the Madness all the way up to today, we're probably up tomorrow, how do you feel about Abel's growth in that time period as an artist?
That's an interesting question. So I told you I became an EXO in 2016. I actually found him because of Daft Punk and Justice. Hey, that's fire. Yeah, I grew up listening to Daft Punk and Justice. Literally back in like 08, 09. And my brothers put me onto it. A lot of my music taste is from them, so shout out to them. I was like, wow, this guy collaborates with like really cool people. Like people I love. Like when I saw him do Daft Punk, I'm not going to lie, at first, I didn't like Starboy, the song. It actually took me a couple listens to get into it because it wasn't my type of music back then. And then when the album came out, I was like, wow, this guy just sings like crazy good. I feel like he could sing a grocery list and it would sound so fire. Or like he could sing like, I don't know, just like the back of a cereal box or something. And I feel like that album was very much more pop focused. And then at that point, I was listening to Trilogy a lot. I remember when I first listened to Trilogy, like, whoa, this is like, I've never heard anything like this. So I wanted him to go into that, bring that Trilogy sound, but also mix it with that electronic sound he was going for. And then I remember My Dear Melancholy came out. That was the first record that I experienced when it came out.
Yeah.
And I was like, this guy, who broke your heart, sir? And then it was 6 for 6, perfect song. It reminded me of Trilogy, but it also had that aspects of Starboy, like that, those, except darker, of that electronic sound, and I loved it. And then he went missing before After Hours came. And I was like, what is he going to do? Is he going to make another Starboy poppy album? Like, I don't know. And then Bro came out of nowhere, out of Instagram, reactivated, red suit on. I'm like, we're in for something crazy. Blinding Lights, Heartless and Blinding Lights dropped. These are two different vibes. I was like, what is he doing with this album? Bangers. After Hours, the single came. I'm like, oh, he's going to make a masterpiece right now. This is like, he is taking his music to a whole new level. And I love that he doesn't try to conform to other pop music. He does his thing. He does The Weeknd so well. I mean, that's him. And Dawn FM came out. Man, that's like, I ate that up, man. That, I love electronic, synthy stuff. I was overseas at the time. I was in an internship. And I remember when Dawn FM came out, it dropped in the morning. Like, usually I wait till midnight. Like when After Hours came out, it was midnight. It was COVID. I was alone. But this time, 2 years later, I experienced Dawn FM in the dawn. I literally sat outside, put on my headphones, and just was sitting on the grass listening to Dawn FM. I was like, wow. And then Hurry Up Tomorrow came, and I'm like, these albums just came out in different stages of my life, and that's why I love his music. Like, I'm older and more mature, I'd like to say. And it hit different, because I felt like this album, a lot of his album music talks about romance, but he also talks a lot about himself. It's very introspective, which a lot of people, I feel like, don't see. And Hurry Up Tomorrow felt like his most personal and introspective album. Because he was talking to us, the fans, and also himself, the Weeknd character. I was like, this guy's a genius, you know?
With that being said then, you know, how you they've come at different stages of your life. Which album would you say best describes your life right now?
Oh, okay. I love that question. I feel like Hurry Up Tomorrow, not because it's recent, but like, I feel like I went through a lot going up till Hurry Up Tomorrow came out. And to me, it felt like I was listening to an album that described how my life changed. And to me, it resonated a lot because it, like, I've always wanted, always inspired to be a better person every day. And that album is about self-reflection and growth. And that, to me, it hit hard, like, about him getting closer to spirits, so, like, you know, everything, like, having a positive outlook on life, like, letting go of, like, regrets and dark thoughts and all these things, like, his vices. To me, that album, like, Hurry Up Tomorrow is definitely the one that really fits right now. And I felt like After Hours was also that time as well, when it came out. Like COVID, I felt so lonely. Everyone was lonely, but we all had Abel's music to cope with. So
indeed we did. You know, with these albums, we've not just had the albums themselves, we've had remixes to come with each of them. So what are your thoughts on the remixes that have come with After Hours, Dawn FM, and
Okay, I'm trying to think, because I'm not gonna lie, I don't go back to a lot of the remixes because I really love his original versions of the songs. I don't know if this counts as a remix, but I really love the SNL version of Scared to Live with the OPN synths. Like, I remember I heard it before the album came out, and then the one on the album's great, but I just love the extra synths on that version of the song. Sacrifice Swedish House Mafia remix is cool as well, because they also produced the original song. I love Swedish House, always. So hearing that was cool. I love a lot of fan remixes. I'm blanking on names right now. Oh my god. Loft Music, XO, I think. After FM. Like, I'm very bad with the names, but I have a lot saved in my playlist. I love their mixes, too. Honestly, the fan remixes are probably my favorite of anything. All the fans do cool things.
What about the Timeless remix?
The Dochi one? I have my lawyer. It was all right. I listened to it a couple times. Honestly, I feel like the original song just kind of gets, because I think the length of the original song was best. You know, it had the perfect mix of Cardi and Abel. I think three artists is kind of like, Dochi is an amazing artist. I'm not going to like say he's a bad artist. I just felt like, I feel like remixes just, it becomes redundant for me. I don't really listen to the remixes personally like that much. I prefer the original versions of most songs. So it wasn't like something that's, stuck out to me a lot.
I'm a bit blunt, not a fan. Not a fan at all. Wasn't needed. You know what? It's up there with Dark Times and like Level of Hate that I've got for that song.
I totally understand. And honestly, I have songs that I don't really go back to a lot on a lot of my favorite artists' catalog, even The Weeknd. I agree, like, music is subjective. You don't have to like everything your favorite artist drops, and it's okay to criticize something you don't like. And
I think
anything in life, you're not a hater if you don't like something. That's what I hate that mindset, where if you don't like something, you just have to give constructive criticism, or like, you have a reason for it. It's totally fine.
And I value
that opinion.
I think what didn't help with me is that I'd been working and I'd had a bad shift, and then the song came out as I was like wrapping up my shift, and it just made everything worse.
For me, the best thing to come out of it is then you release the Timeless instrumental on its own.
Sure.
That's the best part. With the Die For You remix, he did the same thing. I was like, I love listening to the beats.
Have you heard the Scissor remix of Die For You?
I heard it once. I saw a clip or snippet of it, and I feel like I've heard it. I don't think I've ever came back to it, but I definitely know about it. I remember also hearing the original version of Die For You back when the album, I think it was rolling out for Starboy. It was a long time ago. But yeah, I know of the SZA remix.
I think that one should have come out instead of the Ariana Grande one, just because I feel like with that remix that they were trying to do what they did with Save Your Tears, and it didn't
Yeah.
go that way.
Oh, the Save Your Tears remix was definitely better than the Die For You one for me. I really just prefer the original version of Die For You. I remember seeing that blow up years later. When I saw him on tour back in 2017, my first time seeing him, he didn't even play Die For You back then, I think. It wasn't even that popular of a song. And now it's a staple hit on his set list. Like you can't perform without Die For You. But I've always loved
So,
that song. So great.
speaking of the tour, have you had a chance to see the After Hours Till Dawn tour yet?
Or this past Wednesday, I was in Philadelphia and I caught him on tour. Yeah, I saw it. It was amazing. I was on the floor too. I was like 15 feet from the stage at one point because he goes down this other section. Dude, this guy's a hell of a performer. It's like hard to even say how much he's like. Just you can go on and on about it.
What are your thoughts on the new stage design compared to how it's looked over the years?
Ooh, so I saw him on tour Starboy first. 20. The stage was sick. It had these like, I don't know if you
This
watch.
triangle.
Do you watch Star Wars? I
Yeah.
don't know. It looked like the Star Destroyer from Star Wars was like hanging over him. It was so cool. And then he came out of the stage with these lasers, like. That shot up with like the smoke, and it looked like he just appeared out of thin air. And it was my first like major concert, I think. And I didn't
Mine
know
as
what I was
well.
getting. Yeah, sick, right? Like, and then he opens with Starboy with those synth lines. Damn. So,
He didn't start with
Starboy.
Starboy for us. He
Oh, he
started
did?
with All I Know.
I've seen that intro on YouTube. I actually go on YouTube and search that intro all the time. I wish someone made a studio version. I don't know if I found a studio version of it.
I think I have. I'll send it to you if
You
I've got
have
it.
one? Yo, please
I
do.
have.
'Cause I saw the one at Stockholm, I think. And the All I Know version, it's just like the build up of the beat is so cool. And that's such an underrated song too.
It was such a good song off of Starboy, that album, and it was an insane opener. But I love the Starboy opener as well, where it's the extended intro and then it
Music
from the
video.
music video, and then it
Yeah.
keeps going like an extra bit as well.
The extra instruments, so like Patrick, I believe on the guitar, Ricky,
Ricky
like I
Lewis on
think
the
Ricky
sticks.
Lewis on the sticks. Yeah. They I love Abel's music on record, but listening to it live is just a whole different feeling. It's like you can say for very few artists that they're a better artist on stage than in their own music, even though his own music is great. He takes it to another level because he just has that vision and those extra synths, the extra guitars in his music are amazing. And anytime he adds a guitar, it's so sick. Like on Heartless, ooh, I love the live version of Heartless.
I do want to finish off with talking about the film, and just because brand new season, season two, most of the questions were, what are our thoughts on the film? What's it gonna be about? So now season three, the film has been out. I need to, what's your thoughts on the film?
My thoughts on the film. Ooh, okay. So, let me start. I saw it pretty late, actually. Like, I think a week or two after it came out. Because I think it was in LA. Was I in LA at the time? When did it come out again? I'm like,
East.
okay, was I in LA? I was somewhere at the time. And I went to see it because I think I got the free tickets when I bought my tickets for the tour. So I went to see it with a couple friends. And honestly, I feel like if you're a fan of his music, you'd really enjoy it. But if you're not a fan, I could see why people didn't like it. Visually, it's a well-shot movie. It was really trippy at times, pretty thrilling. Score was, it was really well scored. The music was really good. I felt like the one issue I had with it is I think it felt a little too long at times. And I wish Abel had more to say on the movie, because I feel like Jenna's character was definitely, even though that was a part of this like subconscious or psyche, but as a fan, I enjoyed it. It was an entertaining watch. I don't think it was like bad. And also, it adds more context to the album. I love the bathtub scene with the sleep paralysis demons. That was like baptized in fear. Literally, that's what I think of now when I hear baptized in fear is that. Honestly, it was one of the movies I've seen in my life. It was one of the movies of all time. It wasn't a terrible movie. It was just like, I feel like you have to be a Weekend fan. And I did enjoy it as a Weekend fan, for sure.
Is there any theories you've seen out there that you like, yeah, I feel like that's true.
Oh, dude, I'm not gonna lie. I've been so out of the loop in these theory stuff. Like, I've been, but I did. I'm trying to remember if I remembered a few, because I had my own theories. My theory was that, dude, I'm blanking right now. Give me a moment.
One of the theories I've heard is that it's all a dream.
That's the one I thought that was the common theory. So, like, and I think I agree with that. I feel like it was all in his head. It reminded me of a kind of like American Psycho in a way, where you weren't sure if that all happened, but did it happen? And it was like, I like that twist. It's unambiguous. My theory before the movie going in that Abel was gonna die in the movie for some reason, I don't know. I thought Jenna Ortega was gonna kill his character in the movie.
I mean, how many times have we seen him die in music videos?
Yeah, so the first time he does, that's crazy. We have seen him die a lot in music videos. He really loves dying, huh?
I think we need, like, if, I might put a kill count in here just for how many times he's died in music.
Yeah, how many Abel deaths? I can't even count. What, he died on Starboy. He died on, he killed himself on Tell Your Friends. I think False Alarm, he dies.
Red
After
Terror.
Red Terror, what
In
was
your
it, In Your
eyes.
Eyes? Yeah, man, just be dying, bro.
Let's put a kill count here.
Yeah, bro. Bro got 9 lives.
In terms of the acting, do you think Abel has improved from when he
Idol.
started?
Ooh. I think definitely he is really good at showing emo, because I feel like we had a different side of him. Idol was, he was playing more of a character, Tedros or whatever, but this time I felt like he was playing himself, and it was a more emotional side. Like, seeing him like cry on screen was actually very cathartic. Like, it's really kind of like shocking to see. And I think he has improved. He's really good at his facial expression is like, especially like, I, if you've seen the After Hours videos, it's like, and that really set that he's really good at facial emotions. He has a very, very soft-spoken voice, so I really want to see him use more range with his voice. But like, that's like, I guess my biggest critique with it. But I feel like he could be a good actor. I'm more interested to see him as a director, if anything,
Okay.
because he has such a good eye and like good vision for music direction. Like, I feel like his albums are movies. So when he makes, if he takes that same energy and does directing, he'd be a great director, because he talks about his love for films and his music videos, everything. This guy's a film head, so like, I trust him on that. So I'd love to see him direct something. Even if he stars in it, I'd be totally fine with it too. Like, if it's a completely different thing.
Yeah. I want to end it with one last question before we get into the next segment. Do you reckon we'll see him on our screens anytime soon?
What do you mean?
Or do you reckon we'll see him in a new film anytime soon or a new project anytime soon?
I hope so. I don't want him to use this backlash. I know he got a lot of backlash as a discouragement. I feel like now that he's taking this break from music after this tour, maybe he should definitely hone in on those skills and go run with it. I'd love to see him make a movie or even a show, like a small series or something. Would be sick. So I think he would. I definitely think he would come back to it.
I guess only time will tell.
Only time
But
will tell, man.
in terms of questions, that is it for this week's episode. However, before we get into our 5 EXO songs, we have a new segment exclusive for season 3. It is definitely not a rip-off of Family Feud, but I'm going to ask you 6 questions. You just have to give me the first answer that comes to mind, and then at the end, we'll tot up the scores. I have the answers in front of me.
Are there answers? Okay.
There are.
There's no right on this.
There's no right or wrong, but there is a right. And you will be competing against everyone else who is going to be featured on season 3. And the winner will receive a exclusive EXO Takeover season 3 trophy.
Let's get it.
Which we don't have, so just imagine it's here.
I got it. So I'm pretending I already won it, so.
Well, there is a maximum 60 points to be won. So let's see how you do. As you're the first contestant of the season, you're already in the lead by being the first guest.
First.
So
honor.
Top answer is 10 points, then 5 points, 3 points, 2 points, and then any other answer is 1 point. So
can you run that back? One answer is...
So the top answer is 10 points. If you guess that, then it's okay. 5 points, 3 points, 2 points. Then anything else is 1 point.
Okay. Let me pour some water real quick. All right,
First answer that comes to mind. You ready? Okay. Name me the best song by The Weeknd.
Rolling Stone.
Okay. Name me the best feature by The Weeknd.
Best feature?
A song that he is featured on.
His best feature. I should have thought about this. Pray for Love, Travis Scott.
Okay. Name me a song with the letter W at the beginning.
Letter W in the beginning. Wake Me Up.
Okay. Name me his best project.
His best project? Can I count? Does mixtapes count? House of Balloons.
Okay. Name me an underrated song.
An underrated song.
By The Weeknd.
Underrated song. By The Weeknd. Given Up on Me.
Okay. And then finally, name me his worst song.
His worst song. Does that count remixes?
No.
I'm not a big fan of Dark Times, personally.
Okay.
Some song I don't come back to a lot.
That is it. So, how do you think you have done?
Honestly, I don't think I've done super well, but those are all like based on my own opinions. So, in that regard, yes, I did well.
So, you are kicking off this with the first person to have done it. So, the scores to beat, you got 18.
80 points?
18.
This was an opinionated score.
I'm sorry, the answers are all... You know, I can't...
I was thinking, I'll tell you them after. Okay.
That is the score to beat for everyone else who'll appear on.
Man.
How do you think the other people will do?
Honestly, better, because I love his music, but I also just don't spend a lot of time reading. I used to read a lot about his music, but now I just have been so busy that I don't have that same time to, like, be up to date with a lot of what the fandom is thinking.
Scoreboard here. For now, just to show your answers.
I think a lot of other people would do better than me. More diehard fans. I'm a diehard fan too, but...
We'll have to see. Everyone else will compete. That is it. It is now time to end and hand it over to you to let us know, in traditional style, your top 5 EXO songs and why.
Can I pull up my phone for this? I need to look through. Because... And also, disclaimer, my top 5 always changes. My favorite song by him, I also mentioned earlier, is Rolling Stone. So that's number 1. I love Rolling Stone. Also, does this have to be in order? Or is this in no particular order?
Be in Rolling order, Stone. Or order. Whichever you decide.
The Morning. Then we go into Kissland, the song itself. I love Kissland. Oh my god. I wish he performed both halves of that song. And then we go into Hurry Up Tomorrow and Given Up on Me. That's the song I said earlier. It was very underrated. That song, I really love that song. It's very personal to me. Given Up on Me. And I'm looking through his discography right now, so I'm trying to... Sacrifice.
Oh, wait.
No, I had one more. Can I have an honorable mention list or no?
Okay, I'll let you have an honorable mention.
I this would have been in my top five too. Faith. I love Faith. I totally. I did not name a single After Hours song, and I love After Hours. Faith, After Hours, and Until I Bleed Out are honorable mentions.
You can only have five, I'm afraid.
Yeah, but those are the ones that, like, it always changes. Those are the ones I am currently putting in my top five, because it's hard to choose five songs out of this man's catalog.
That's why we ask it, you know. Mm-hmm. But I'm afraid that is all for this week's episode.
Thank you for having me, man.
Honestly,
this is so fun.
I am so, you know, thankful for you to be for being a part of this. You know, what a way to kick off season three. More amazing episodes coming every Sunday. And yeah, that we'll see you next Sunday.
I'll also be sending you some stuff soon. I'll look forward to that.
I'll keep an eye out. I appreciate that.
Take care, boss.
But that's it. We'll be back next Sunday with more special guests talking more things EXO right here. You know where to find us.
I'll be on Hate Watch seeing if anyone does better than me.